Dear friends, we are called today by the Word of God to remember, to give thanks. And that sounds easy enough, doesn't it? Remember to give thanks. Yes, although it sounds easy and although we know that we are to be thankful, we know how hard it is to live a thankful life. We know that we are to be thankful, but yet we often forget to give thanks. We know that we are to be thankful, but we often begin to think that we might be the cause of all the blessings, all the good that exists in our lives. What is interesting is how we read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 8 today, and we see that the very same struggles that we have to remember, to give thanks, are the same sorts of struggles that our forefathers had as well. The Apostle Paul reminds us in the New Testament that what was written beforehand was written down for our instruction. The life of Israel was a type to us, an example to us, of how we ought to give glory to God and how we ought not to sin, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we see that here in the Old Testament before us. Again, chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. Moses here is writing to the Israelites under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, just before they enter the land of promise, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, after they had come out of Egypt, they've passed through the Red Sea, and a whole generation has died and has passed, and now a new generation is about to enter into God's promised land. The people's collective memory was beginning to fade. Even more, they were beginning to have an arrogant attitude. We see that there where he says, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have given me this wealth. When this begins to happen in their hearts, and as they begin to prepare themselves for entering into the promised land, God speaks through Moses to tell them to remember. Remember what has happened to you already, and remember who you are as my people. One of the things that we learn here, just as an aside, is the importance of how every single generation of those who belong to Jesus Christ must for themselves believe God's promises, and they must for themselves express their thankfulness for the promises of God. It's not good enough for a dad to dress up as a pilgrim today if the children have no idea why he's dressed like a pilgrim. It's no good for us to have a nostalgic Thanksgiving if we don't remember all the reasons why we are to give thanks. So we might ourselves know why we give thanks, but yet our children may not. And so the same thing was with the Israelites. The parents and the grandparents had perished, and those who had grown up as little children as they saw the Red Sea were themselves now the parents and grandparents. And those who were going with them, their children and their grandchildren, had to remember to give thanks to the Lord. You see here in this chapter that to remember to give thanks is, first of all, to exalt the Lord. To remember to give thanks is to exalt the Lord. Moses tells them there, notice with me, he tells them to remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. To remember again, he says, your clothing did not wear out, your feet did not swell, verse 4. And that he was bringing them into a good land. And he goes on to describe that land, honey and water and trees and homes and hills and valleys and vines and fruit trees and so forth. All those blessings he was reminding them to remember that they have come to them from God himself. And all those earthly, tangible blessings of rivers and of a land and of food and of their feet not even swelling, their clothes lasting them for 40 years. These are all tangible expressions of spiritual reality. You see there in the text where the Lord speaks about the manna that came down from heaven. It was a tangible bread that God gave them to feed them. But yet he tells them in verse 8, the reason why he gave the manna, the reason why he gave them these tangible blessings was to teach them that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord. And so as the Israelites lived in the land and as generations passed, David wrote Psalm 103. And we see him express to the Lord a blessing, a thanksgiving for the blessings that come from the Lord. And those blessings are no longer things that are just merely tangible, but he blesses the Lord for his blessings, his gracious blessings, his benefits, as David calls them, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and tender mercies, who satisfies you with good, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. They were to remember, the Israelites were. David reminded the Israelites to remember all the things they had came from God, to exalt the Lord himself. And how much more so us, as we come and we gather to remember, to give thanks for every spiritual blessing that we have in Jesus Christ, in the heavenly places, as Paul tells us. How much more so should we give thanks and remember to thank the Lord our God and to bless the Lord with our souls? Those of us who live in a land like ours with so much freedom, the abundance of our land, the peace of our borders, let alone God's greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to gather as believers in Christ to render thanks for the great benefits that we've received at the Lord's hands, to thank Him, to praise Him, because he's opened his hand to us and he's generously and lavishly and liberally showered upon us all his grace and all his gifts of his mercy. You see as well here that to remember to give thanks was also to humble oneself. To give thanks is to thank God, because from his hand comes everything. And to thank God is to humble oneself. These things did not come from my hand. I did not provide myself all that I have. I did not build all that I have. I did not create all that I have. It has come from God. And so we humble ourselves. Moses tells them again, after he lists this long litany of blessings, verse 3 through 10 and so forth. Verse 11, take care lest you forget, he says. Take care lest you forget. Lest you forget what? Listen to verse 13 and following. I might add, as you slump off into your turkey coma this afternoon and enjoy 3 football games, think about how relevant this passage is, verses 13 through 16. This describes us to a T. Lest, he says, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. Here's what we are warned against. And that you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, he says, lest you forget. And lest you say, as he says in verse 17, as he concludes that section, beware lest you say in your heart, as you enjoy all the wealth and the blessings and the benefits of God himself, lest you say in your heart, my power and my might have gotten me this wealth. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, Peter told the New Testament, that he might exalt you in due time. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. His sacrifices that are acceptable to him are a broken spirit, a broken heart, a humility that comes from a depth of understanding of our weakness, of our sins, of our not deserving anything that we actually have. Most especially the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we do not deserve not merely food and peace and prosperity, but that we do not deserve anything from God's hand, especially the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God in his love has sent to the world, that all who would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Remember then to give thanks to God, my friends. Give thanks to the God who is a creator, God who is a preserver, a God who is a savior. Exalt him and humble yourself And I trust that you would humble yourself because of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart today. Let me conclude with this. A wonderful thought about Thanksgiving that summarizes what we see here. John Calvin, great reformer of the 16th century, once wrote this. Speaking of Thanksgiving, this is a pleasure, he says. Thanksgiving. This is a pleasure which ought never to bore us by custom. An exercise of which we ought never to weary. The innumerable benefits which we receive from God yield fresh cause of joy and thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God should never just be a custom, although it is a custom to have this day of Thanksgiving. We should never see it as a thing that wears out, that bores us. Instead, Thanksgiving should be the Christian's pleasure and delight. And even more as we gather today, giving thanks, as Paul says to the Corinthians, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.